Public Library in Elkhorn, beginning at 6 p.m. The event will also include a short presentation on narcotics use, the signs of overdose, and current drug trends. 10 minutes after 8, just ahead of the morning show with Greg Berg, let's check WGTD sports and weather. Baseball, the Brewers were shut out again by the Cubs, 2-0 down at Wrigley. White Sox lost to Kansas City 5-4. Brewers on the road in Cincinnati tonight. The Cubs host Colorado. White Sox are off. NBA playoffs yesterday, the winners were Cleveland and Houston. Now the WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service for this Monday the 30th. Mostly sunny and warm, a high of 76. 52 tonight, 78 tomorrow. New numbers are in. Run from the south at 10. It is 50 degrees across the board. Racine, Kenosha, Burlington, Elkhorn, Lake Geneva, and Milwaukee. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:11, the morning show with Greg Berg, next.
Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2018, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackandrea.com. Support for the morning show also comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses designed for the working adult. More information available at carthage.edu/grad. And we welcome you to the Monday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg, and I can't think of a better way to begin the broadcast week for the morning show than with the special guest that is sitting opposite me, Chancellor Deborah Ford from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. And John Milkey, who is Director of Strategic Communications at Parkside, is with us as well and helped to set up this this interview. It's not that long ago that I had the pleasure of interviewing Brian Albrecht, the president here at Gateway Technical College, and a couple of days after that, Dr. John Swallow, the newly inaugurated president at Carthage College. And so now we, as Jabe McGrath was saying earlier, we complete the triumvirate with Chancellor Ford, who is just back from a very exciting trip to China. And so in a long list of interesting things to talk about, we're going to be talking about that as well. And this conversation comes pretty close to the end of the school year for UW-Parkside. Chancellor Ford was saying that their graduation is coming up on May 12th. So this is a busy time, but we're glad that the Chancellor's schedule can accommodate this visit to the morning show. So Chancellor Deborah Ford and John Mielke, we welcome both of you to the morning show.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for having us, and it's always great for us to be able to talk about what's happening at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, and very glad that you have the opportunity to have interviews with me, with Brian, and with John, and we certainly welcome John to our region here in Southeast Wisconsin and really appreciate how he's gotten involved in the community. And I can tell you, I think last week, Brian and John and I were in some of the same meetings because a lot of activities across the region, and I certainly can talk a little bit about that. But it's always great to talk about higher education in Southeast Wisconsin, and we're very lucky to have a wonderful private institution, a great two-year public institution, and then certainly UW-Parkside as the only university in our region.
Right. And it's not only great to have these three institutions here, but in some ways it's even greater that they get along so well, that there is such a spirit of cooperation and collaboration. And you certainly don't always see that. That doesn't just spring up automatically. And as much as the three of you in particular are fostering that, it's also not anything you invented. That when you stepped into the chancellorship at Parkside, as Dr. Swallow did and Brian Albrecht, that was already in place, this spirit of cooperation between the three schools, and I'm sure you're very grateful for that.
Absolutely, and I think collaboration is certainly the key. It is something that our K-12 partners, our business and industry partners, they expect and they are grateful for, and I can say that this collaboration that's happening right here between the three of us is certainly being expanded into the Milwaukee 7 region as the economic development landscape here in Southeast Wisconsin continues to grow. We certainly are coming together and have created what we call the Higher Education Regional Alliance. And both John and Brian and I are very involved and engaged. I actually have a meeting later this week to continue that work to make sure that the program array across all the colleges and universities, public, private, two-year, four-year graduate programs are meeting the workforce demands, not only of today, but really well into the future, and modeling many of the things that are happening between our three institutions right here.
Fantastic. Really glad to hear it. John Mielke, it must be exciting to do what you do. I mean, at a school that is growing and thriving in so many ways and has so many things going on, I should think the heart and soul of your work is to get out the word about Parkside and all that's going on there.
It is. There have been numerous times where we'll be meeting groups that are visiting campus, and we go around the table and introduce ourselves and talk a little bit about what we do. And my standard line, and I don't mean it as a line, is that I have one of the best jobs at the university because I get to talk about all of the incredible things going on, and whether it's student success or work that faculty are doing, and whether it's the community engagement, our athletics program, there is more going on and there are more good things to talk about than I probably have time in the day to talk about them. So, yeah, right. It's really interesting. And I think what's more important than just the interesting stories is that if you didn't have those interesting stories and if you didn't have things going on, then that would tell you that the educational experience for the students is not very exciting either. But when you have these things going on and there's the opportunity for students to succeed and work with incredible faculty and participate in athletics and get into the community, that's the important part, for given that 60% of our students are coming from either Racine or Kenosha County. That gives those students a really fantastic opportunity for an educational experience right here, close to home, and I think that's the value, one of the key values of the university.
Absolutely.
As it is with Gateway and Carthage.
Right.
You know, it's all the same.
Sure. And I should think that one of the things you probably love most about your work is that you aren't stuck in a silo, which is sometimes what can happen, even at the most vibrant universities. When you are part of, for instance, a thriving department, sometimes it's all you can do to just cope with all that you have to do within your own little piece of it. And And a position like yours, by its very nature, is one that gets to look over the whole and kind of take everything in.
Very much so. I forget how many years that I've really been doing this particular job, I think it's four-ish years or so. I've learned a great deal about, or I've learned a little bit about a lot of different things. And whether it's the interaction with our elected officials in Madison, with our state assembly reps and our state senators, that's been very interesting. And to learn about that process and I think the thing that I've seen is that they work together possibly more than people may expect based on what they may hear or read or see. That there is still, regardless of whether you're on the right side or the left side of the aisle, there still is a great deal of collaboration going on between those folks who serve southeastern Wisconsin. So the political side has been interesting. As I mentioned, the student success side, the faculty, the work that they're doing, it's always something different each day.
For those of you just joining us, we have with us Chancellor Deborah Ford from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. And just now you were hearing the voice of John Mielke, who is the Director of Strategic Communications at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. Chancellor Ford, we were already excited to have you back to the morning show in the wake of these other two presidential interviews. But then I became even more excited when John Mielke indicated that such a conversation would be coming on in the wake of your return from a very exciting trip to China, where you were chosen to be one of the keynote speakers at the 8th World Woman University Presidents Forum in Wuhan, China. So that just sounds like a tremendous honor and a really exciting event. And first of all, I want to make sure I understand what this event was. The name of it makes it sound like this was a gathering of women university presidents, I assume, from all around the world?
Absolutely. And very honored to be able to not only represent the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, but also be an ambassador for the United States at the 8th World Women University Presidents Forum. I was nominated by one of our faculty members, Professor George Wong, in our sociology department, and he is from Shanghai, China. And he is good friends with the vice chair of the organizing committee for the World Women University Presidents Forum. This year, it happened to be hosted by Wuhan University, and it's a gathering of women leaders and primarily are all from higher education from around the world, and certainly met women from all parts of China, also women from Finland, Russia, Cambodia, Brazil, the United States, trying to go around the room and all the people I met. It was Vietnam, Thailand, and had an opportunity to learn about the challenges and opportunities in higher education in their particular countries from their perspectives, but also really thinking about the future and how do we continue to focus on creating opportunities for girls and women to earn a college degree, because some of those opportunities don't exist like they do in the United States around the world.
Right. Yeah, I should think that would be part of what would be so fascinating and helpful about such an experience is to learn about what it's like to be, for instance, a woman who is in higher education in a place where that is maybe an experience very few women get to experience, where they are on the sort of cutting edge or the vanguard of something very new and exciting and probably scary, and probably puts into perspective what you, for instance, have been able to experience here in the USA.
Yep. And I think it was so inspiring and to listen to other folks' stories and about what they are doing at their respective campuses to make sure that students today are competitive and that students understand the changes in technology and they understand the demographic shifts that are happening. I remember one particular speaker from Malawi and the only woman leader at her institution. And she talked about that journey and how difficult it was and how many barriers had been placed before her. But her commitment was to make sure that the experience that her daughter had was very different than the experience that she had. And so truly a role model. And I was so inspired by her that I had a small gift from UW Parkside that was made by one of our students. It's a print, and it looks like a tree. And the leaves of the tree actually are the word university translated in about 50 languages. I'll bring you one next time, Greg, so you have
wonderful.
One. But in 50 languages, and it says university. And so it's our way of coming together, and it's something we give to many of our international partners. But I was so inspired by her story that I said, I'd like for you to take this and display it in your office so that it reminds you of the power of what a university does, and because you've inspired me to continue to do this work.
Wow. That's amazing. I want to hear more about China in a moment, but I want to go off on a slight, not exactly a tangent, but I want to ask you something different. On the public radio program, Wait, Don't Tell Me, this past weekend, one of the quiz questions or something that came up at one point in the hour was, or just made the point that in the United States, there are more CEOs named John than there are CEOs that are women, which tells you, even for as much as things have changed, they haven't changed that much. If just CEOs named John outnumber all of the CEOs who are women, let alone all the CEOs who are just men, period. But you know, just kind of a staggering thing to think about. The reason I bring all that up is because I wonder for you, even in a place like the United States that's relatively progressive when it comes to matters like this, what does it feel like for you to be a woman who is the head of a university? I mean, does it feel completely normal, or does it feel like it is still something a little bit odd, like, I don't know, being a woman, a car mechanic or something, some kind of occupation where we make these assumptions that that's something that almost always a man does? I'm guessing that we're getting to the point now where you can walk into a room of just a sundry university heads and not feel self-conscious about the fact that you're a woman, but are we there yet or not quite?
Well, let me say it this way. First of all, I think we as women, we can do anything we put our minds to, and that certainly we're breaking that glass ceiling every day, but we have to continue to really work at that, and I think model the way for our peers and the next generation. So certainly progress has been made, and one of the things that I shared during my keynote speech was some research that I've been doing on women presidents, and happy to report that we are making progress in the United States, that in 2011, 26% of presidents at colleges and universities in all sectors were women. And the past survey that they completed in 2017, 31%. So we are making progress, but our goal is to reach parity. Mm-hmm. And one of the speakers at the World Women University Presidents Forum said, at the current trajectory worldwide, it would take 200 years to reach parity, meaning 50-50.
Oof.
Well, that's unacceptable.
Of course.
And actually worldwide, 1 in 6 women at for colleges and universities, 1 in 6 presidents are women at colleges and universities. And one of the goals that we have, and from our research of women who happen to be presidents of colleges and universities, we learned that we don't want to be classified as women presidents. We want to be presidents of colleges and universities, and you don't want to put the woman qualifier in front of the word president, and we just happen to be women, but we are presidents.
It would be nice to be at a time and place where it's not the least bit noteworthy.
That's right.
that the new chancellor of UW Parkside is a woman.
And I'm not new. The third. I'm the third woman in our history at UW Parkside, and I am completing my 9th academic year.
Wow. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, then, of course, Gateway has had a woman president some time ago, Carol Johnson.
Yep.
Carthage has yet to have its first woman president. When you eat a meal in the what's called the president's dining room. There are these paint. You've probably been there, I'm sure. And these paintings are on the wall, kind of surround you, but they are all men looking down. And someday, of course, that will change as well. I'm sure at Carthage at some point.
Well, and let me one other thing that I was inspired by are the research that I'm doing with a colleague, Dr. Chris Kavanaugh, and with some of the other presidents that have been interviewed. We talk about this as a plus one campaign. And what we mean by that is if each president who happens to be a woman today, if we mentored, coached, inspired, encouraged, nominated another woman to be a president, and they were successful in that on that journey, we would double the number that we have. And too often we think, we have to gain 5 and 10 percentage points. Well, that can be overwhelming to one. But if we focus on a plus one campaign and really inspire that next person. And so for me, the opportunity is to identify those faculty and staff at UW-Parkside and mentor them, support them, encourage them. Because the most important thing is to apply. Too many women don't apply for leadership opportunities because they don't have the skill set that they think they need. But we need to encourage folks, and we need, I think, to continue to be good mentors. And our male colleagues are also mentors for us. And that's something that I certainly shared and I learned from the women at the World Women University President's Forum. That's quite a mouthful.
It is. And it's so exciting to think about. It also prompts the question, and I honestly don't know the answer to this, what kind of balance are we talking about, for instance, at a place like Parkside and maybe overall, in terms of faculty and maybe upper administration as well? Are we a little closer to that sense of numerical parity that you were talking about?
We're making progress, but we're certainly not where we probably need to be. And I think the greatest opportunities we have in higher education for faculty and staff and administrators are recruiting and retaining persons of color. And as our student bodies change and the demographics change, and we're very fortunate at UW-Parkside that 31% of our student body is comprised of students of color, but we definitely need to make more progress in hiring and retaining the faculty and staff of color.
Back to your experience in China, you said that you were actually there for a week. So, first of all, in terms of at this forum itself, how was most of the time spent? I'm not talking about the after hours fun and exploration, but at the forum itself, what kinds of things were done?
Yeah, well, the forum is an opportunity for, first of all, the University of Wuhan University, to showcase their campus. So we visited a historic library for the opening session, and some of the top officials from the government, as well as top officials from UNESCO, came and opened the proceedings. I happened to be with a few other college presidents that spoke during that opening keynote session. Then we shared our meals together, which was really nice, and to be able to meet and mingle with folks from around the world. And then a series of presentations and discussions, and every participant, there were over 150 participants, had an opportunity to share some passion or some aspect from their particular discipline or area of interest. So it was varied conversations. I think the one of the takeaways that I would have is that I wish we had had more time for discussion on some of the topics, and because it was so much at one time, and that was some of the feedback, you know, that we shared with others. Some of the tabletop conversations revolved around some of the issues around sexual assault and sexual awareness, and many of our colleagues, particularly in China, were very interested in some of the policies at colleges and universities in the United States and how best to educate the campus community. And so a lot of time doing that. And then the last day of the meeting, we actually had a chance to visit some of the cultural sites the Yellow Crane Tower in Wuhan, a very significant historical location there. A lot of tourists there, but a lot of folks from China as they visit different parts of the country, just as we visit different parts of the United States, were there. So it was nice to be out and about. And then we also went to one of their museums and had a chance to see some of the national treasures. So great trip. And then I also visited two universities while I was there. So we can talk a little bit about that, too.
Fantastic. It sounds like a week wasn't probably enough.
It's never enough when you travel. And after the forum, we have a partner in Wuhan on a different location. Wuhan's a very large city, and John Hahn University. And we visited there. We signed an agreement with John Hahn University. We hosted a faculty member from John Hahn a year ago, or in the fall. And so we, Dr. James Kinchin from the music department will be a faculty in residence later this month, or early in May, right after graduation.
In China. Wuhan.
He's going to Wuhan for a month. And also Dean Peggy James from the College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies will be giving lectures at John Hahn University, and Dean Leslie Walker from the College of Arts and Humanities, because a year from now, and we hope you will have them on your show, we hope to have the choral group from Wuhan University here, and then our students will be going to Wuhan next spring to share in a concert as well. So world relations and connections and building a global network. And that's what we're trying to do at UW-Parkside.
Fantastic. How big is the city of Wuhan? Hmm. I mean, is it an immense city or hard to say?
You know, I think many millions. I mean millions, and spread out. And because, I mean, it took us a while to get from one location to the other. And I should know that number, but I don't remember.
I'm just kind of curious. It's not a name that I've known, but I don't know the country of China actually all that well. And this university that was the site of this forum, was it, in a sense, a real sort of multidisciplinary sort of university?
Yes. Wuhan University is one of the largest universities and oldest universities in Wuhan. So it would be sort of comparable to the land-grant institutions of the United States. So very old institution and 30,000 to 40,000 students, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big university.
Yeah. In the off time, did you get to have sort of relaxed sort of fun, or was this mostly, in a sense, a serious trip and a business trip?
It was very much a business trip. And so with the forum and the presentations, then the visit to John Hahn University, I also had a chance to talk with their administrators while I was there, and, you know, did a talk and also Q&A. And then we visited Shanghai University as part of this trip and are exploring a partnership. Dr. George Wong, who nominated me, accompanied me on the trip, and he's a graduate of Shanghai University. And we met with his colleagues in the sociology department and toured their campus, and they are investing millions of dollars in higher education at Shanghai University. That is a very large institution and a lot of investments, but very interested in a partnership, and had an opportunity to meet with several students there. And also while in Shanghai, had an opportunity to be out in the city, took the subway, not once, but twice. And in the morning, just after the rush and right in the heart of a Friday evening rush on a subway, 27 million people live in Shanghai, and I have a little glimpse of how they move people. But if you don't move as they move, it's going to be problematic for you.
Wow. I see John Milkey moving his fingers. Did you look up how big Wuhan is? Or you?
No, I had to take a picture of Chancellor Ford and Greg Berg on the morning show and put that out on Twitter to all our Twitter fans.
That's important, too.
That's important, too.
More important than the population of Wuhan. For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking with Chancellor Deborah Ford, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, and John Milkey, the Director of Strategic Communications, is with us as well. So as we've just been talking, Chancellor Ford is just back from a visit to China. She was one of the keynote speakers for the 8th World Women University President's Forum in Wuhan, China. And it's great to hear about some of the other exciting partnerships that that are going on there. It's just great. Among other things for us to talk about, including at UW Parkside, is the fact that Parkside is moving rather aggressively and energetically in the direction of expanded master's offerings, master's programs at Parkside. And I know from the underwriting announcements that we make for Parkside during this program, for one thing, that I'm aware of at least a couple of them that have just been developed. First of all, just kind of tell us philosophically what is behind this move.
Well, I think a couple of things at the university. We have, for many, many years, offered three outstanding graduate programs, our Master's in Business Administration and our Master's in Molecular Biology, and then also the Master of Science in Computer Information Systems. And one of the things that we would like to do is to increase the number of master's degree graduates. And in order to do that, we can certainly grow the programs we have. But in talking with business and industry and K-12 and higher education and government partners, what we realized is there are some in-demand programs and that our graduates from our undergraduate programs would stay locally if we had those program offerings. So happy to report that this year we actually have master's programs, you know, double-digit numbers. And so let me tell you just a couple of the ones that we have and a few that are waiting in the wings. Mm-hmm. So we have recently added the Master of Arts and Applied Professional Studies. It's the first master's program in our College of Social Sciences and Professional Studies, and that is a general program with three tracks. We also have the Master of Science in Clinical Mental Health Counseling. That is within our psychology department and certainly an in-demand program in our region. A Master in Sport Management, and that is offered face-to-face. And our faculty will hopefully approve tomorrow afternoon the online version because we're finding that students need a little more flexibility for master's programs and would like to have that offered face-to-face and online. We also have the online Master's in Health and Wellness Management. And then earlier this month, the Board of Regents approved the Collaborative Online Master of Science in Healthcare Administration. And that's now being reviewed by the Higher Learning Commission. And once we have that approval, that will be offered. And we know that the Dean in the College of Natural and Health Sciences, Emmanuel Otu, is working closely with the faculty in biology to expand the current molecular biology program and offer some additional tracks for a master's in biological sciences. And so very excited about this growth. I am so pleased with the innovation of our faculty and their commitment to offer not only quality undergraduate programs, but an array of graduate programs that meet the needs of southeastern Wisconsin and beyond.
I was glad you kind of spelled out a bit of the process, too, because I think it helps people on the outside looking in understand that you don't just decide, why don't we also, let's add this one and let's add that one, that it is not a particularly simple matter to add a master's degree or to decide to offer one. And not only the sort of logistical hoops you jump through in order for such a thing to be approved by whoever has to approve such things, but also to decide what makes sense. I mean, that, you know, a master's degree in Bulgarian basket weaving is probably not a prudent way to go. But what do you think about? I mean, what sort of matters of a more practical nature need to be weighed in order to decide that, yes, this is something we should begin to offer and are in a position to offer?
I think first it's sort of what our students are interested in. Many of our students from UW-Parkside, as they earn their undergraduate degrees, go on to graduate school. And we begin to hear that, but many of them live and want to work and contribute here in southeast Wisconsin, and they don't have the option. So what we hear from them, what we hear from our partners, and then doing some analysis on what do we think would be of most interest and where we have the expertise among our faculty. And as we have had faculty retirements from some of our best faculty, long-time serving faculty members, new people come in with new interest. And so, and they say, well, what about a master's program? And then many of our master's programs are offered in a consortial format. And what that means is that we are in partnership with three or four of the other UW comprehensive campuses. And so you're pulling from the expertise of a faculty at four campuses, and you can offer more. We go through the approval process, both at the campus level, which starts in the academic department, then through the college, then through the committees that are led by our faculty. And then ultimately, any new degree program has to be approved by the Board of Regents at the University of Wisconsin. And they certainly ask a lot of questions and want to know that not only you have the expertise, but that there's the student need and that you can certainly fund and support and resource a program so it meets the quality expectations. And I can assure you all the ones at our campus do.
Very good. Well, it's quite an exciting development. And I especially appreciate the point you made about how certain students who have been a valued part of the community are apt to be a valued part of the community even longer. And in a sense, with deeper roots right here in southeastern Wisconsin, when they are not only pursuing undergraduate degrees, but master's degrees as well at Parkside.
Yeah, and, you know, Greg, one of the other opportunities, and we know that students at Gateway, Carthage, and Parkside, they succeed in a greater way when they have the opportunity to work on campus. And we know that that helps with retention and persistence to graduation. And one of the things that we're very happy to announce that is that we are offering some additional graduate assistantships so that students that are in the graduate programs at UW-Parkside have the opportunity to work on campus while earning their degree and gain direct experience. And very excited about that addition that will start, you know, this summer and into the fall.
Fantastic. Speaking of excited, I know that one of the things you were telling me about before we went on the air is that there are an array of Parkside students that have earned some wonderful honors at various events and in various competitions, and including a young man from right here in southeastern Wisconsin originally who achieved something extra special. So we want to give you a couple of minutes to do whatever crowing you feel like doing about some of these great student success stories.
Well, there are so many, but let me pick out a couple for the Chancellor's brag board. And first is Siva Shankar, and he is a senior physics major, and he earned the top undergraduate researcher award at the April meeting of the American Physical Society in Columbus, Ohio. And his research presentation was judged best among 90 undergraduate research poster presentations from across the U.S. and number one. And he was competing with institutions, you know, around the U.S., including MIT, I believe Caltech, Ohio State, and maybe a large land-grant institution right here in Wisconsin. So kudos to Siva.
Wow.
And also, hopefully, many of the listeners remember and read about Nick Becker from Hartford, Wisconsin, when he made history at the 2018 NCAA Division II National Wrestling Championships, being the only wrestler in UW-Parkside history to win three consecutive NCAA National Championships. Wow. Congratulations. And so he closed out his career as a wrestler at UW-Parkside 89-0.
I mean,
so he won every match. And he is in his graduate program at UW-Parkside. And then we learned that a molecular biology and bioinformatics student, Nicholas Belsky, has received the Barry Goldwater Scholarship. This is a very prestigious national STEM award. And then our students in sales. I haven't talked much about the College of Business Economics and Computing today, but two of our students in sales, the graduate students, Philip and Ashley, they were within 1 point of defending the 2017 team sales competition. So they place second. But our sales program at UW-Parkside continues to be a powerhouse. We've actually had to enlarge the trophy case to be able to put all of their awards. And so, you know, I am so proud of what our students and faculty are doing. And so invite all the listeners to come visit Parkside and learn about things that you didn't know about UW-Parkside, because so many great things are happening. And the greatest thing of all, May 12th, another graduation ceremony and a class of about 500 graduates. And again, not record-setting, but very close. And very excited about this, the class of 2018 and the contributions they will make.
Wonderful. It's a great to see Parkside thriving as it is. And by the way, you're wearing an interesting pin that has the number 50 on it. And our listeners, of course, can't see it, but I can. Explain what this is.
Well, you know, starting with the 2018-19 academic year, the University of Wisconsin-Parkside will be 50 years old. And so we will be celebrating all of next year, and we will start that celebration shortly after commencement. We'll unveil the website, and we invite our listeners, your listeners, and certainly our alumni and friends to log into the UW-Parkside website and tell their story. And how has Parkside influenced and impacted your life, be it a student, a graduate, a friend, a faculty member, a community member. And we're collecting those stories, and I guarantee you we should come back and talk a little bit about the 50 years of UW-Parkside. So very excited and focused on the next 50.
Yeah. John Mielke, that has to be a delicious prospect, I should think, for you to have a really red-letter event like that to be talking about. Can you tell us more about kind of what the general plans are for how that's going to be celebrated and what kind of news you want to be trumpeting to the world about it?
Well, I think first off, I'm not worried about having something to do for the next year.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that we'll take up some time there. But just to see so far the planning that's going on across campus. So whether you're in the College of Arts and Humanities, Social Sciences, Business, Natural and Health Sciences, everyone at this point is involved in looking at how can they participate in the 50-year celebration. And one of the things that we're doing is hoping to generate about 20 or 30 profiles of people who've been involved in the university. There are three will be up on the 50 years website. Wayne Donnell, who was athletics director at Parkside for a number of years. We chose also to have a student who's working in archives. Thought it was a little interesting that here's someone who's new to the university, but for the next year will be very involved in the university's history as people dive into the archives to find out more about that. Bridget Johnson, she was the head of the Office of Multicultural Student Affairs at Parkside for a number of years, is now in Colorado, and we're working on her profile. So it's really interesting to go back and talk to some of the people who've had quite an impact on the university and what they're, what they remember about the position or how they look at the university now, given the fact that you've been here for 50 years.
That's wonderful.
And now the theme for the 50 years is Bold Beginnings, Future Focus. And because we're celebrating the rich history and legacy of UW-Parkside, but also positioning the university for that for the future. And, one of the things that we're working in partnership with the UW-Parkside Foundation is to host a gala, and that is going to be on October the 12th. So mark your calendars and meeting with our foundation board tonight to continue the planning. And they are helping us to create the Future Focus Scholarship Fund at UW-Parkside. And we've raised already over $100,000 towards the goal, and look forward to creating a new scholarship fund to support our students from Southeast Wisconsin and with this new Future Focus Scholarship Fund as we begin the next 50 years at UW-Parkside.
Marvelous, marvelous. We just have a minute or two, but I probably shouldn't let you go without giving you a chance to just say a word very specifically about Foxconn and the fact that, of course, this is something that is an extraordinary step in kind of a new direction for Southeastern Wisconsin and offers all kinds of opportunities and challenges. How do you see the University of Wisconsin Parkside figuring in this in the next couple of years?
Well, certainly we are making sure that our academic program array and certainly growth at the institution supports the growing and changing economic development landscape, certainly being led by Foxconn. We were fortunate that Alan Young from Foxconn, along with two other colleagues, attended the Celebrazione Italiana celebration on Friday night, and we invited Alan to say a few words to the community, where we honored Peter Barca with the Leadership Award, and Corey Mason III and his wife Roseanne with a Lifetime Achievement Award. And Mr. Young spoke about returning to Wisconsin. He's a Wisconsin graduate, about Foxconn and their work and their commitment to be a really great neighbor and to really create a new technology ecosystem. And it's beyond manufacturing. And it is really about this next generation of what technology can be here in the Midwest. And to be 5 miles from their location, to be in partnership with Gateway and Carthage, and certainly our higher ed partners in the Milwaukee region, it's an exciting time for all of us. And I am confident that the graduates of UW-Parkside and the other institutions will be ready to meet those challenges and to meet the opportunities as this technology is positioned and this ecosystem here in Southeast Wisconsin.
Very good. Well, it's certainly something that all of us are looking at with a great sense of expectation and hoping for very, very exciting good things to emerge from this development. And yeah, no doubt Parkside will be part of it. Well, I'm so glad that in what I know is a ferociously busy time of the semester with graduation looming that you could make time for this. And I told you before we went on the air, I'm going to be going to Parkside twice in the next week, and it's true. Tomorrow night I'm going to Parkside to be one of the judges for some kind of speech competition that occurs every year in early May.
Public speaking night.
Yes, that's exactly it. And then Saturday, Parkside, or at least the Rita,
yes,
will be alive with hundreds and hundreds of young musicians at one of the sites of the WSMA State Solo and Ensemble Contest. And so I'll be running through the hallways of Parkside and what's always one of the most fun days of the year for me. But every opportunity I have to come to Parkside, to that beautiful, beautiful facility for one of the many events that are open to the public, is always a great pleasure. It just makes me grateful all over again that Parkside is part of this great community and that you're at the head of it.
Well, thank you very much. And you and your listeners are always welcome at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. And the on Saturday with the Wisconsin Music Association competition, the entire campus will be filled with music. So we invite everybody to come out for that and come out anytime.
Very good. Chancellor Deborah Ford, it's always a pleasure, and today was no exception. And thank you for being part of the morning show. I look forward to your next visit and to this exciting anniversary year for Parkside. And John Mielke, thank you for helping to arrange this conversation today.
You're welcome, Greg. And there's 10.61 million people in Wuhan, China.
So 10 million.
Now you have it. All right.
And I've done that.
All right. And with that, thank you again both for being part of today's morning show here on WGTD. It's 8:57. Support for the Morning Show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. Support for WGTD also comes from Jack Andrea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2018, a unique shopping experience